Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Never judge a book by its cover. Do not count your chickens before they have hatched. Think before you speak. Appearances can be deceiving. All that glitters is not gold. You are familiar with the sentiment in these cliches. Slow down. Be wise. Do not jump to conclusions. Do not think that you have it all figured out. What underlies all of these pitfalls in life? Pride. Pride goes before the fall. In all things, it is wisest to be humble. Always consider others better than yourselves. And always be aware of your own ability to make mistakes at all times. Solomon, wisest man ever to have lived, except for Jesus, of course, said from today's Old Testament text, the book of Proverbs, "It is the glory of God to conceal things. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame?" Our world today would do quite well to heed such great words. Faded are the ideas of integrity when it comes to any type of truth or information. Social media today allows platforms for individuals to be heard and read far more readily and easily than ever before. Books, magazine articles and the like, they need to go through much review, much checking before they can be put into print. Tweets or blog posts does not. All it takes is for the right person with the right connections to retweet a post or to like it, and countless others are exposed to it and swayed by its words, whether true or not. So these words of Solomon and others who were wise will not change this world, and they will not eliminate rash judgment and quick thought. And neither was the Lord Jesus targeting such a goal in all the world with his words for a sudden change. But all can hear his word, his guidance, and they can obey them, but few will. Today's gospel text from Luke 14 brings us along down the path of Luke's presentation of the Christ to his audience, to Theophilus, this believer in Jesus. We find in Jesus a continued interaction with his enemies, his opponents, those seeking to destroy him. And the Lord Jesus does not back down, does not give in. Instead, he is taking the fight to them, initiating controversy verbally, not physically. We find Jesus here in the midst of a dinner party being hosted by a ruler of the Pharisees, one of the elite amongst the Jews. Now, Pharisees were Jewish laymen who were passionate about the law of God and spoke openly about it. They were even more zealous in this life for the rules of men that serve to protect the laws of God. They believed that keeping God's commands perfectly would usher in the reestablishment of God's reign here upon the earth through the Jews. And to challenge, to oppose their errant and insistent thought, Jesus did the unthinkable. Not only did he heal a sick man by laying hands upon him, which would have made a clean Jew unclean in the eyes of the law. But Jesus also healed this man on the Sabbath day and on purpose. Jesus knew that this would truly raise the ire of the Pharisees. He had viewed them at work in this Pharisaical ruler's home, the fat cats of the Jewish people, more religiously than financially, latter distinction belonging to the Sadducees. The Pharisees, though, did love to parade about before each other, their fellow Jews. When it came to festal parties, who sat where was an all-important matter. Grown men, Pharisees, acting like little children, jostling and elbowing for the best seats at the table. Close to the host, the best. Far away from the host, the worst. No doubt sickened by this arrogant display, Jesus took hold of a man who had somehow worked his way into this party. The man was sick with dropsy, a condition known to be that of a retention of water severe throughout the body. Jesus then puts the question to these law experts, to the Pharisees, point blank, publicly, open for all to hear, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day or not? Now before, in these types of encounters, the Pharisees were adamant that it is not lawful at all to heal, to do any work on the Sabbath, but this time they remained silent in the presence of Jesus. They knew that there was now nothing they could say that would impact Jesus, that would change his way, his word. So they watched, helplessly, as this powerful rabbi and this Nazarene put his hands on an unclean man, proceeded to deliberately and willingly violate their beloved Sabbath. Now, no work was ever to be done upon the Sabbath. This law was one of the most treasured by the Pharisees. They thought it separated them most from the rest of the world. They knew that Levitical law did indeed prescribe that Jews who broke the Sabbath day were to be executed. Plans were in motion to do just that with Jesus. And this does fall in line with the Jewish system of that time. Jesus would be accused of blasphemy, claiming to be God when not rightfully so, and, of course, breaking the Sabbath day. It would be the chief reason for his crucifixion. Yet Jesus does not back down, does not cower in the face of such opposition. He knows the pride of the Pharisees and of their law experts. He knows the sinful heart that does not easily let go of pride. To admit one's wrongs, we know, is a sign of weakness. Admitting to sin is like admitting to defeat, giving up, especially sins against others. We cannot let them have the upper hand. We cannot hold our sin against us. You and I know this argument full well. But it all could have been tempered, put at bay, this animosity of the Pharisees toward Jesus, by a healthy dose of humility, something our world today seriously lacks. Had the Pharisees considered even Solomon's words from Proverbs 25, that God himself conceals his wisdom, that they should be slow in casting judgment upon anyone, especially Jesus, they may have received him more openly. But they were set in their ways. They were not about to let some small town carpenter, two-bit rabbi upset their charade. Rather than repent of their own sinful condition, hand over religious authority to Jesus, they fixed themselves ever more firmly in their own way of thinking. And even in all of this, God is quietly working his plan for man's salvation. Hidden within Jesus is God's solution for the ultimate problem of sin. It was not that sin would disappear once Jesus came upon the stage and suffered and died upon the cross. Rather, in Jesus, God provided the remedy, the cure that he had prescribed and foreshadowed long before, ever since the fall into sin, through the payment of another. A substitute would come the forgiveness for the sinner. Sacrifice after sacrifice was then made throughout the Israelites' history, ingraining within them that reality that indeed forgiveness would be through another. A sacrifice would finally come that would set them free. And the Pharisees worked to put an end to Jesus, God's plan for salvation. Their intention was truly for evil of Jesus. Yet God intended it for good, as he had once done before for Joseph and for many others who had gone before and come after. Jesus' suffering, his death upon the cross, his sacrifice, that would set everyone free from their sin, from the curse and the burden of their own sin. The payment for all sin promised so long ago found its completion in Jesus fully. His death has made you clean, granted you forgiveness. His death has gained for you life. Jesus publicly, blatantly, willingly attacked the Pharisees as only the Lord Jesus could. He challenged them with the true godly way. Do not fight for the best that this world has to give, whether in possessions or with mankind, with people. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is the chief of that sentiment. Eternal Son of the Father, deserving of all glory and praise, humbled himself by becoming a servant of all. Servant of all mankind, his own creation. He died the death of sinners upon the cross. He suffered the forsakenness of his own Father because of our sin. And because of this, God has seen fit to raise him up from the dead, lifted his name far above all other names. And so Jesus is your comfort, your confidence in this life. Whatever you endure in this life for his sake, whether poverty of possessions or poverty of reputation or poverty of friends, it will all be repaid with the resurrection of the just. As it went for the Lord Jesus, who was humbled and thus exalted, so it will go for you, his beloved bride, the church, washed and fed with the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.